We have a special treat for us today. We have a guest preacher, the Reverend Tony Freeman. And I wanted to take just a moment to introduce you to him before he spoke up here. I became a minister in MCC partly because it took a while to really discern what my calling was. I knew there was a calling on my life. I had learned it early on in my United Methodist Church that I grew up in my hometown. And then later on, I sort of had to go on the journey, partly because of my sexuality and partly because of other passionate beliefs in inclusivity, to really find out where that calling would be lived out. And for me, it became apparent that my calling was to minister and live with and love diverse communities, and to really inspire the calling in each one of us to be an empowering minister. And it was really lovely when I came into MCC to see people like Reverend Tony Freeman, who for me exemplified somebody who was a powerful and beautiful and strong and spirit-led leader who was as passionate about bringing forth the ministry gifts in the people that he ministered with. And when we look at your ministries, Tony, in this denomination, I think that is an absolute hallmark. You always see people who are empowered and passionate and alive in their calling in God. And it is no surprise then that the denomination has recently asked Tony to be our new director of the Office of Church Life and Health. And we are so blessed as a denomination that Tony said yes to that and stepped up to that ministry. We're really blessed here because Tony is our direct support person for our interim process. So he's really been working with you all closely since before I got here, and he is my mentor in this process as your interim pastor, and will continue to be a bit like an earth angel for us, partnering us along. So it is absolutely a privilege, Tony, to welcome you today. Would you join me in welcoming Reverend Tony to the pulpit?
Can everybody see me? Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you so much for allowing me to be here today and to worship together with you. It's just an honor and a pleasure. And thank you, Presley, for that very wonderful welcome and introduction. Last night I had the distinct pleasure of having dinner with some of the members of the board of directors and with Presley, and you know what was very, very evident to me was that how much they love God and how much they love this congregation. And so whereas you may not agree with every decision, know that you have people who have your best intentions at heart. And so I think, could we take a moment and just give them a hand for their service? All right, all right. Now, I got to get some of the important things out of the way, answer some of the important questions. I'm 6'6". Yes, I did play basketball. No, my name's not Shorty. And yes, the air's just fine up here. Thank you very much. All right. Well, on to other things. I want to bring you greetings from Reverend Elder Nancy Wilson, our moderator. And she sends her love, her blessings, and her prayers, and wants to thank you and this congregation for your faithfulness to being part of our worldwide mission to transform lives as we transform ourselves. You know, you are a part of everything our denomination does around the world. We are connected together, and you help make this work possible. Whether it's a new church start that just affiliated in South Korea, amazing, huh? Or whether it's our justice work that we're doing in Eastern Europe, or whether it's birthing another new church in Brazil, you are a part of it. And so we thank you for your faithfulness and for being part of this worldwide movement. So give yourselves a big hand today. I also want to just take a moment and thank all of the many people who support the denomination over and above their giving in support of the local churches, the people of the Moderators Nominating Committee. We give you thanks. And we also like to express our gratitude to all of those who serve in denominational volunteer positions. So anyone who has served either in a network, as a volunteer for the denomination, if you could just stand and we could recognize you and say thank you. All right. Let's see if I've forgotten anything. I think that's about it. Almost time to get ready. You know, this was such a wonderful children's message. I said, that's a hard act to follow. You know? She was wonderful. She really, really was. That was just a blessing. That was just a blessing. Well, let's pray. God, we ask that the meditations of our heart and our lips be pleasing to you. Open our hearts now. Open our spirits that we may receive what you have, the gift you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when Isaiah made that proclamation. What do you think the crowd did when he uttered those words? See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Do you think they sat there in stunned silence? Or do you think there were jeers? No, no. Or there was affirmation as they took their staffs and they pounded them at the ground saying, yes, 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 as dust rose up all around them. My guess is that there was a mixture of all of them. Different people in different places with different responses to change. Think about your spouse coming home or you going to work one morning and the first thing out of your partner's mouth or your boss's mouth is, see, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. What do you think your response would have been? Huh? You know, they say the only people that really like change are babies in wet diapers. But there are all kinds of changes, aren't there? There are changes we can anticipate. Like when we know that a relationship is coming to an end. And then there's unexpected changes. Those ones that are just catch us by surprise. And as I've thought about this, I'm not sure that the emotional response to whether it's expected or unexpected is any different. I think that you still get caught up in the emotions, or we get into the emotions of hope, fear, anxiety, grief, all of those things get wrapped up in it. Now, I think that it would be nice if we could know what all of the changes were. You know, I think that might help some. You know, how many people watch that show, How I Met Your Mother? I personally never watched it because I said, you know, if it takes you more than 30 minutes to tell me how you met your mother, you know, I'm probably going to lose my interest. But now it's taken 8 seasons, I understand. And here's the interesting thing is, but you know, why does it take 8 seasons to say how I met your mother? You know, look at Forrest Gump and all he did, and they did. They told his whole life story in 2.5 hours. I'm going somewhere with this. Don't worry. So, so the thing is, they recorded the season finale a couple years ago. You believe that? They recorded the season finale a couple years ago because they said, well, we don't know what's going to happen to the people or anything, so we want to go ahead and record that now. And wouldn't it be something if life was like that? No. But it's not, is it? It's not at all. No. Any way we look at change, it's laden with emotions. There's fear. That's where it usually starts. What's going to happen? Anxiety. We get anxious. And then, at some point, we begin to move to hope. There's a transformation that takes place. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yes. In my own life, I've experienced in a very deep way. 23 years ago, I was down to about 160 pounds. Very close to being homeless, living in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And I was so addicted to drugs and alcohol, and I didn't even want to live another day. I did not want to live another day. And I ended up in rehab, and I was so scared because I didn't know what life could be like without drugs and alcohol. I didn't know what could happen. I didn't know what I could do, what life would be like at all. And oh, I had fear. I had great anxiety. But I stayed with it. And I began to experience a glimmer of hope. And I'll never, ever lose sight of that transformation, of that experience of finding God and coming through that. From fear to anxiety to hope. And here now, 23 years later, clean and sober. Praise God. You know? I share this with you this morning to remind you to recall those times that you have gone through this transformation. And experienced at the end of it God's hope. And it's a reminder to all of us that during times of change, whether they're anticipated or unexpected, to lean in to God during those times. Lean in to your faith and really experience it. Is that a little feedback? Is that all right? Or do we? Is there anything I can do?
Much better. Is that better?
All right. I don't know where that feedback was coming from, but be gone. You know, I think that getting back to change is not near as painful as our resistance to change is. You know, churches are famous for being resistant to change. We even have our own language about change in churches and our resistance to it. We call it sacred cows. And sacred cows in our churches, we can fill the pen up with them, but God help us if we ever have to let one out to pasture. I'm telling you, with churches, you know, you do something once, and then you say, well, we did it last year, we got to do it again this year. And then what happens to it after that? It becomes a tradition. God forbid we should ever not do it again. Sacred cows, we are famous for them. Isaiah had something to say about not making idols of the past, I believe. And I think there's something, he was on to something there, and something very, very valuable. Now let me get back to Isaiah again a little bit. Before he said that former things have taken place and started declaring the new, he reminded us that it was God who has called us who will take hold of our hand. He reminded us that God has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. That we are to be a light to the world, to bring light where there was darkness, to bring those out of the dungeon of oppression. God was going to take hold of our hand. That's such an intimate act, isn't it? You know, when you think about it, whenever you watch a parent and the children are getting ready to cross the street, what do? They take hold of their hand. And it's wonderful when you see a couple my age, or maybe a little older, and they take each other's hand as they cross the street. And whenever you visit somebody in the hospital, what do you usually do? You hold their hand. And just think of it as God holding our hand and being with us through whatever changes we face. Whatever it is, there is God holding our hand. He reminded us, Isaiah, that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. In 2 Corinthians 2:7, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those who love God. Oh, my. And you say, well, God has a purpose and a plan, and I'm going to open the eyes for and shed light and let people out of the dungeon. How am I going to do that? Through Christ who gives you the strength to do. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. See, Isaiah's declaration was not really so much a declaration of change as it was a declaration of interdependence. It was one of God being with us and God in turn saying, I have a plan and purpose for you. You see, we're all connected in that way. It was a wonderful, I believe, declaration of interdependence, reminding us that God is with us through times of change, expected and unexpected. Years ago, my partner and I had my partner at the time, Stephen, had adopted a young man named Mario, and he came to live with us when he was 6 years old. And my first trip away was to go see the NCAA basketball Final Four. Yes, I'm in the middle of March Madness. And Anyway, I went away, and I was gone for a week, and this is the first time I'd been separated from him. And so I got back to the airport, and I didn't know that Mario was going to be coming to the airport with Steven. So there I am at the airport, coming down the stairs, and all of a sudden, over all of the noise of the airport, which you know are noisy, right? And I hear this, Tony, and it sounded like Tony, Tony, and this little 60-pound bundle of joy sprinted across the airport and ran and jumped in my arms. And I felt such love and such an embrace of warmth. And I thought, wow, this is something. And I think, too, about when God says God takes hold of your hand, that God has that same love, that same warmth, that same embrace for us, even as we walk through the challenges of life. The one and holy God, the God of the covenant, has called you, will hold your hand, and will keep you. Declaration of interdependence. Let you be a light to others. Open the eyes of the blind. Free captives from prison and release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. We are reminded that God has a purpose and a plan for you and for this church. And during times of change and transition, the needs of the people are not put on hold, are they? I think that God's will is expressed through the mission of your church. And what I think is God's desire is to take the unique gifting that God has given this church, because God has brought you together for a purpose and a plan. And take that gifted, special giftedness of this congregation to meet the greatest need in your community that matches up with that. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. You know, and sometimes people say, well, where's my part in that? Where's my place in that? And I say, listen carefully to your heart. When you think, what are the things that make you cry? What are the things that bring you joy? What are the things that you hear or see that you say, I can't just leave that alone? I believe God is speaking to you in those times and calling you and gifting you to do something about them. Hear that Spirit. Hear that voice. Listen for God in those times speaking to you. All of you together are part of God's plan for MCC Tampa and part of the plan for God's will to be done in this community. You know, in the wonderful reading today from Isaiah, in the very next verse, which we didn't read today, Isaiah says, sing a new song. Sing a new song. After he said, the former things have taken place, new things I declare, he says, sing a new song. And it's a song where every voice matters, where every voice counts, and every voice is valued, and every voice is beautiful. In the weeks ahead, in the months ahead, MCC Tampa, you are going to be journeying with God through many changes. Yes, you are going to be on the way to something good. Now, you may not know the words yet to this new song, and you might stumble at times over them. It may be out of harmony a little bit here and there. You know, there'll be some starts, and you'll have to go back and rehearse again. But I know you're going to get it right. You'll struggle through it, and it will be a new song. And it will be a beautiful song, one with God as the conductor and you as the choir. This I do declare. Amen. I have just a couple more things, and honestly, then I'm going to sit down. First of all, I just want to take a moment and welcome, if you would give me this opportunity, to welcome my mother-in-law, or my mother-in-law emeritus, Kitty Keeley, a.k.a. Kitty Keeley of Lakeland. And she is here with her friend Hilda and her son, Hilda's son, Chris. And thank you so much for coming up for Lakeland and being here today with me. It's just a joy to have you here. Bless you. And I have a very, very wonderful honor today of presenting your interim pastor with the denominational award. So, Presley, would you come up here with that little box that's sitting right there beside me? Because this microphone won't stretch that far. Sure. Why, do you want to open it?
There you go.
That's beautiful.
Yes. So, it is my distinct honor and pleasure this morning, on behalf of our worldwide denomination, to present Presley with the Ed Paul Leadership Award, Award for Leadership and Transitional Ministry Award. I want to say that this is just such a pleasure and such a well-deserved honor for Presley. And I just, when I talk about Presley to other people, I say, what an incredible gift he is to our denomination. What an incredible gift he is.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Yeah.
At any one time, almost 20-25% of our churches are in transition. And Presley and Lisa Heilig have just done a tremendous job in helping with the training of our new and potential interim ministers. And I can't tell you what an impact that is having on our churches around the world. His leadership in the training and the mentoring of other interims, his work at MCC St. Louis and Newcastle in England, has just been superb. And he has really helped transform congregations and prepare them to sing a new song. So it is with my great pleasure that we award you the Ed Paul Award for Leadership and Transitional Ministry.